What's going on, everybody? Welcome on in to a special impromptu edition of Spotlight right here with Brass Ring Media. How's it going? I'm your host, Zach Haydorn. And normally this show doesn't take place on Sunday afternoons at 3 Eastern. Typically, this is Brass Ring Media's Wednesday show, Wednesday at 3 Eastern. We're live all throughout the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And Spotlight is normally the afternoon anchor of the Brass Ring Media group of shows. But we had a bit of a scheduling issue during the week and had some time here on Sunday. I've got the UFL game on here, and it's a massacre. The St. Louis Battlehawks are destroying the team from Washington, D.C. I don't even know their name. Commanders, I want to say, perhaps? It was a good little game up until the fourth quarter, and then it all fizzled away. But anyway, here, free, thought, hey, let's get an episode of Spotlight on the books for the week because we've got a lot to talk about. And I think there's one topic in particular that I want to make sure to hit with you guys, and that's the WWE draft. And so on this show, we take that Spotlight, hence the name, and we shine it right on one topic only. And we just, kind of go in depth on that specific topic. So I have no idea how long we're going to be today. We could be a few minutes, could be longer. But the WWE draft started on Friday, and I don't know about you guys, but I just am tired of the concept, not of the fact that hey, you got to draft stars from one brand to another brand because you want to shake up the rosters. Obviously, that makes an infinite amount of sense to do that at least once a year. I mean, it just that's smart. That's just smart business to keep the product fresh. What I continue to not like about the WWE draft is like the fakeness of it all and like the eye roll nature of it all. The fact that you try to sell these picks as like, really huge deals, and then like you make yourself lose credibility because they're not all really huge deals, right? I mean, they're just not. And you have the commentary teams here like working hard to try to like get this concept over, and you've got the war rooms that look like, look like classrooms with like a couple logos on a screen. Like, I don't know. I'm at this point where I'm just like, I'm good. I'm good. I think it'd be better if the WWE just went a different route with this. And I'm hoping that they would, with Paul Levesque in charge of the show. Alas, what happened on Friday felt very, very, very similar to a Vince McMahon-led WWE draft. And that was unfortunate to me. I thought this was a time, for all the new era talk that there's been, I thought this was a time to just change things up and get out there and change it up and get out there and, put your a new stamp on it, or at least try. Maybe it wouldn't work, maybe it would, I don't know, but it just kind of felt old and tired this year again. And Azan agrees. Hello, Azan is in our live chat and says the draft was the same stuff. And yeah, it was, it really was. And that, I think that's the most disappointing part. So let's pause there, let's set the table for the show. This is Spotlight. It's a Brass Ring Media podcast. We are on the air every Wednesday, typically focusing on one specific topic. One topic, Spotlight is on it. We've done all sorts of shows, WrestleMania reviews. Last week we did a watch along of Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns 2 from WrestleMania 40 live on the show, and commented on it. And we had a really fun discussion with the live audience. So it's a blast. It's a blast. I love doing the show. You can check out our other content throughout the week as well. We have a show Monday Mania, which is kind of a weekend roundup on Monday afternoons. Tuesday and Thursday are our flagship shows where we talk all the news of the week, all the topics of the week, and break those things down. We spent a lot of time last week talking Tony Khan and talking Dynamite and the angle that closed that. I'm sure we'll have a bunch to say about that on this week's show, but In order to make sure you don't miss any of that stuff, hit subscribe. Subscribe to the channel. Subscribe and hit turn notifications on so you know when we're live. And sometimes it happens like this, where it's just impromptu. We're on the air, and that's that. You can also follow our written work on Substack. It's over at Substack. Just search Brashfing Media Substack in Google. Will come up number one. We've got show reviews there. We've got feature columns there. We're going to have some new features and new regular pieces of content from some really, really great authors going up very, very soon. So now's the time. Head over there, subscribe. It's free, totally free to do it. I think you'll be happy with the content we put out there. You can also head over to Patreon and check out all this stuff. It's kind of like a hub for all of our content. There is a membership tier, a member-only tier that includes a free member-only podcast, access to our post-pay-per-view and PLE review shows, full access to the newsletter, all of our free and, of course, our paid written material, and then access to our Discord community, which has really been a fun element of Brashfing Media, just having that Discord there for fans and members to talk pro wrestling and to talk life and to talk music and television shows and movies and sports and all sorts of things. So it's a really fun environment. And hopefully you guys check it out. You can go to Patreon and subscribe for free. Or if you're interested in membership, it's only $4, only $4 to try it out. And we hope you do. You'll get a lot of value. As for today, I do have super chats turned on. If anybody wants to contribute to the show, we certainly appreciate it. And I'll make sure to read everything before I get off the air. And the live chat is going too. Azan is in there right now, and I think spitting some facts in regards to Paul Levesque and the WWE draft, and we'll get to some of that stuff here in a minute. But yeah, that's open and available. Jump on in, dive on in. We'd love to see you contribute. And thanks to everybody who's listening live on YouTube, and thanks to everybody who's listening live on Twitter X. Appreciate it. We appreciate it, and this will be should be a fun show. So let's run down really quick here, like what happened on Friday during the WWE draft. And so round one was SmackDown drafted Bianca Belair, Raw drafted Jey Uso. Then from there, SmackDown drafted Carmelo Hayes, and Raw drafted Seth Rollins. So that's how that is how the first round went. Bianca Belair to SmackDown, Jey Uso to Raw, Carmelo Hayes to SmackDown, and then Seth to Raw. Round two, Randy Orton was drafted to SmackDown. Bron Breakker drafted to Monday Night Raw. Nia Jax to SmackDown. Liv Morgan stays on Monday Night Raw. Round three, LA Knight stays on SmackDown. Raw drafts Ricochet. SmackDown gets the Bloodline as a group, but no Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns pulled himself out of the draft before the show. And so it's just Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Paul Heyman, and Raw drafted Sheamus. Round four, the last round of the night, AJ Styles went to SmackDown. The Alpha Academy collectively, Chad Gable, Otis, Tozawa, and Maxxine Dupri went to Raw. Andrade to SmackDown, and Kiana James, an NXT call-up, went to Raw. And then after that, on Friday night on WWE socials, they had like the supplemental draft where some other talent got shuffled around. And this is how that broke out. SmackDown got the OC. SmackDown got Baron Corbin. And SmackDown got Cedric Alexander and Ashante the Adonis. Raw picked up Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, Alba Fire, and Isla Dawn, and Ivar. So that is the draft as it stands right now. Here's my thing with how this all kind of broke down. Number one, the one major change that Triple H made to this is that the champions on each brand were off limits. So, you know, on SmackDown, Cody Rhodes, Bayley, Grayson Waller, and Austin Theory, and Logan Paul were not eligible to be drafted. And then on Raw, Damian Priest, Sami Zayn, Becky Lynch, who just won the WWE Women's World Championship, and the Miz and R-Truth were not eligible to be drafted because they were champions, and the champions were going to stay with the brand. Now, theoretically, I like that. I think that's a good pivot. You know, you tie these champions to the shows, and you go from there. Also, this year in particularly, there's a lot of like new champions. And so virtually all new champions, except for Logan Paul in the last month. And so shuffling those titles off those shows didn't really make a lot of sense to me right now. So this draft served as a way, in theory, to get some new challengers on those shows for those champions that are sticking around. But here, when you look at what actually happened in the draft, as Azan is pointing out, there's a little change, but not a lot. Not a lot at all. Let's break it down further. SmackDown stays with Bianca Belair. Raw stays with Jey Uso. SmackDown picks up Carmelo Hayes. So that's a plus one. That's a huge get. We'll talk about Carmelo Hayes in a minute. And Raw keeps Seth Rollins. So in round one, everything stayed exactly the same with the draft. Round two, Randy Orton stays on SmackDown. Bron Breakker goes to Raw. So that's a flip. That's a flip. Breakker was on SmackDown, kind of. Not really. But now he moves to Raw. Nia Jax moving to SmackDown. I called it, guys. Nia Jax flipping. I think this is like one of the smartest draft picks yet. Not because Nia is like the biggest star or anything, but I think she gives like a jolt of fresh to SmackDown, the SmackDown women's division. I mean, like, Bayley is going to need heels to face and have feuds with. And I think they could build a really nice feud, Bayley and Nia Jax. And that doesn't feel like it's been done over and over and over and over again. So I like that. I like that that pick. And then Raw takes Liv Morgan. There you go. Everything's the same with her, staying with Raw. So not a lot of change there. And Bron Breakker, even though he was on SmackDown, like he didn't have like any kind of big SmackDown roots or anything like that. Like that's not what this was. So really the only person moving around in that so far in two rounds, the big shift is Nia Jax to SmackDown. Round three, SmackDown keeps LA Knight. That's the same. Raw keeps Ricochet. That's the same. SmackDown keeps the Bloodline. That's the same. Raw keeps Sheamus. That's the same. Like, okay, so no moves there in round three at all. All right. And then round four rounds it out with SmackDown keeping AJ Styles. That's the same. Raw keeping Alpha Academy. That's the same. SmackDown taking Andrade. That's a bit of a shift. And then Kiana James, you know, getting moved up to Raw. So that's, you know, that's brand new. But all told, when you take away NXT pivots or NXT call-ups and, you know, somebody like Bron Breakker, who hasn't really had any impact on SmackDown, the only two real shifts across four rounds is Nia Jax and Andrade. And even Andrade, I would look at that and I would go, okay. he hasn't even been on Raw that much either. So not a lot of change when you really kind of break it down. Same thing in the supplemental draft. SmackDown and the OC, exactly the same. Cedric Alexander and Ashanti the Adonis, you know, not a part of any real like main roster anything at this point. So that's fine. Baron Corbin to SmackDown, he'll freshen that up after his little run in NXT. But then on the Raw side of things, Shayna Baszler to Raw, that's the same. Zoe Stark on Raw, that's the same. Ivar on Raw, that's the same. Fire and Dawn, that's obviously a pivot. So, I mean, so a lot, you know, was made of this draft. And as Azan mentions right here, not a lot of real change. So it just begs the question, like, why do we commit a full show to this? You know, what's the purpose? What's the benefit? Yes, they're going to try to draw a number on it, and they likely will, because the draft usually does. But I think at some point it's going to have diminishing returns, especially when, you know, you have so little movement here. Now, there's another night of the draft, you know, and with some big names on it, Drew McIntyre is going to be up to get drafted. CM Punk is going to be available to get drafted. We'll see kind of how that shakes out Monday, and if there is any kind of real change. It kind of was just like, okay, just like a regular episode of SmackDown. We got Derek in the chat saying, yeah, not a lot of change, but a lot of change wasn't needed. One notable talent can change one significant segment on television. SmackDown, they run 4 to 6 segments per week. Raw runs 6 to 8. It's a great point. It's a great point, Derek. I'm glad that you brought that up. And I want to use that to like kind of pivot and say, I don't necessarily have a problem with the draft going the way that it did. Because I, like you, you know, they don't have to have a lot of change in some instances. And you bring up a great point that like one talent change can really alter how things go. So I think it's just really a good point to point out. My issue is just with that you put so much fanfare behind these shows, behind these draft shows, and you try to, you know, Michael Cole sitting there trying to sell, you know, Andrade as this like great SmackDown pick. It's like, he's like not a great SmackDown pick. It's okay. It's okay. It's fine. You know, but is it something that you're going to like put a whole show around? You know, that's where I have my, like my biggest kind of issue is just kind of the presentation of it all. That's where I kind of furrow my brow and go, you know, this would be cool if you just did it once a year on social media, or you did it on YouTube, or you did it as like a Peacock special for people to check out. So, you know, Gunther is another, that got mentioned in the chat too. Gunther is another person that's going to be drafted on Monday. So I think that that's another big change. Like if he goes to SmackDown, you know, then you've got that Cody versus Gunther match looming, and that's, you know, that's big business. That's the real that's the real deal. Same thing if Drew goes over there for whatever reason, or Punk for that matter. Although I expect them to stay, you know, on their same their same shows. So yeah, you know, I mean, look. I think my issue is just with like the presentation. And then it was disappointing to see it. I don't know about you guys, and definitely comment in the chat here if you're able. Like what you thought of the lack of like a vision pivot from Paul Levesque. Like, I just think if I was having this conversation with him, he'd go, Zach, what are you talking about? Like, I took a major, major playing card off the table here by keeping the champions on the same show. Like, that's a big pivot. And I suppose that it is. And like, hey, that's why we have these shows, man. We talk it through. That's why we put the spotlight on these things, to talk this stuff through. I guess that's like a big, you know, that's a big pivot to make that happen. And like, I think Vince, you know, used like, hey, we're switching champions as like a way to like really make the show newsworthy. And so by taking that away, Triple H, yes, took the newsworthy, you know, stuff out, and but also like left in a more smooth kind of draft where you don't have to do silly like belt switching or anything in that situation if you end up with two champions on the same brand. We have a super chat from Matt here. And Matt, thank you so much for joining today. I appreciate you. And Matt says, let's go. Love Brass Ring Media. Too many storylines already set up for them to do any real major switch-ups. Yeah, that's another good point. Although the draft doesn't go into effect until May 6th, which is next week after Backlash. But they do have like a lot of this stuff kind of like in the works. AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre and Drew McIntyre and CM Punk, right? Damian Priest and Judgment Day, Chad Gable and Sami Zayn. So yeah, it's a bit of a a conundrum as far as that goes. So yeah, good call out, Matt. Yeah, appreciate you. And thanks for listening to the show. Derek is chiming in too and mentions a good point about the presentation not necessarily being flashy, but they did announce the rules ahead of time. They announced the rules ahead of time and they stuck to them for the most part. Although I think they did advertise. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. Doesn't need to be a super chat. I'll post it up. I believe they advertised CM Punk for the show on Friday night, right? I know he made an appearance after the show, but if I remember correctly, the Twitter message that that WWE put out made it seem like that they were going to be on the show. So, yeah, they probably don't want to be doing that kind of thing. All right, more analysis here on the draft itself. There's some things that I, even though, you know, I'm kind of like, blah on the draft, although you guys push back with key arguments, there are some interesting possibilities that I think have unfolded within what they did on Friday to kind of reset, to try to reset the table here. And the first one is Bron Breakker going over to Raw. I think, you know, that draft pick does a lot for Bron Breakker. It was crowded for him on SmackDown. And we'll talk about Carmella Hayes in a minute. But, you know, I don't know that it made a lot of – it would make a lot of sense to do like a mid-card title feud with Bron Breakker and Logan Paul at this point, for example. And that's really where Bron Breakker is. Like, he's in that, like, mid-card, but mid-card with aspirations to you know, move up and become a world champion, become a main eventer. That path is just muddy on SmackDown. On Raw, boy, it's wide open. I mean, it is wide open. And it starts with that Intercontinental title picture. Like, I look at drafting Bron Breakker to Raw, and to me, Azan just pointed it out, Bron and Sammy, like, that is something that I would look at. You know, if I were Paul Levesque and I were WWE and I'm looking at, like, SummerSlam, perhaps, like, you want to, like, look, Bron Breakker is getting like a super push right now. He's the guy that's getting, like, you know, the rocket attached to him. He's doing squash matches in seconds on Cedric Alexander. He's getting presentation that makes him look really strong. To me, you know, you just continue that on until you get to Sami Zayn, and then you do that. And I think you can get there by SummerSlam without question, if not sooner than that. Or maybe do you put money in the bank on him? That's another thing that you could potentially do. Do you just kind of turn him babyface, or not turn him babyface, but like leave him kind of in this zone of just being this intense guy who's strong and wins matches and breaks stuff like this? God, sidebar, he's got to end all like this and like the breaking thing. Like, your name's Breakker. No go from me. Anyway, there's a lot of opportunity for Bron Breakker on Raw. Lots. I think that's a good pick. We already talked about Nia Jax being a good pick for SmackDown. That, I think, stays. You know, like, she can be a fixture of that division on SmackDown. And there's a lot of people that she can work with over there. She can work with Jade Cargill. She can work with Bianca Belair. She can work with Bayley, of course. Tiffany Stratton at some point, I suppose. Like, there's like probably a year's worth of feuds that she can have on SmackDown because she was drafted over there. So I think that's just a thumbs up pick, just like Breakker. Another person I want to mention is Carmelo Hayes. I feel like I was in the minority on this, like, based on some feedback that I got, like, on social media, which, you know, it's feedback, so, you know, it is what it is. But, like, I mean, Matt, thank you for your chat here. I appreciate you, man. Thank you. But, like, I thought Carmelo Hayes had a heck of a night on SmackDown. Like, he was the only pick to kind of get a spotlight on him that was new anyway, in a major spotlight. Like, yeah, he didn't beat Cody Rhodes. I get that. And I think, you know, 9 times out of 10, I think you want to have, you know, somebody like Carmelo Hayes come in and get defined the right way, get defined in a big way, win your matches, and then, you know, and then continue on to bigger and better things. But it's so on paper, like, yeah, it doesn't look great. But if you watched it play out, I mean, you can't get any other perception than Carmelo Hayes is a big star when you look at what happened to him on SmackDown. I mean, he walked out after his draft, after he was drafted. He confronted Cody Rhodes, and then he had a match with Cody Rhodes that was a pretty darn good match. I don't know. Like, to me, like, what outside of like winning the world title, that's a darn good, you know, first night. So I'm curious as to see how that continues. I don't think this was like, you know, a burial of Carmelo Hayes by any means. And I'm not saying that that's what people mention to me, but like, this is like a different way to kind of put him forward and kind of make it known to your audience that this guy is more important than other like draft picks, like Kiana James, for example. No, it's this guy. Remember this guy. And I think that's good for Carmelo Hayes. He's got it. He's somebody that can be a part of SmackDown for a long, long time if he's handled the right way. And I think WWE knows it. I think Paul Levesque knows it. Obviously, Shawn Michaels knows it. Like, there is a long, long road there with Carmelo Hayes. And so I thought he had a really, really good night on the show. As far as everybody else goes, you know, again, well, let's talk about Kiana James. That was an interesting call-up from NXT. Unexpected. Now, you may still get an Ilya Dragunov call-up. You may still get a Roxanne Perez call-up. But James as the first one is just interesting. And it's part of the reason why I kind of just roll my eyes at some of this draft stuff, because if you are, in this case, Adam Pearce, there is better talent to take in NXT, Dragunov being one of them. Now, they haven't really defined well, like, what NXT's stars are available when. So that's that. I'm sure they would rest on that if I was talking to Shawn Michaels and Triple H right now. But James has not been a focus, like a major focus in NXT. She has been an upper mid card player. You know, she's had title matches. She's been a tag team champion in NXT, and she's had some of the kind of grudge matches that they do and grudge feuds in NXT. But she has, you know, always been like second, third, fourth, you know, on the kind of depth chart list. So it was interesting to see her kind of get the call here. She's got a gimmick with, you know, kind of like the businesswoman gimmick that I think can translate well to the main roster and isn't really any kind of gimmick that they have up there currently. So she's going to be an interesting person to watch. Again, on Raw with Becky Lynch, I would not be surprised to see, you know, James get into a program with her sooner than later. Much like Carmelo Hayes was working with Cody Rhodes, probably on a little bit of a bigger level, because it's an actual program and not like a impromptu match. But I think that's Becky Lynch has shown propensity to work with young talent, work with NXT talent and put them over. Not saying that Kiana James is going to be your world champion, far from it. I don't think that's it's in her purview for quite some time, but you know, she's somebody that I think can get a jolt working with somebody like Becky Lynch. So we'll see what happens there. Azan in the chat's asking, does Liv stay face now? I don't think so. She's probably going to get the first match with Becky Lynch, right? You know, I think that makes sense to me as Liv being the last person to get eliminated by Becky on Monday Night Raw this past week when they're deciding the championship. It seems that she just is not going to be able to stay babyface because of this Rhea thing. Like, the Rhea Ripley's thing is a tidal wave. And so I just don't think you even try it. I don't think you try it, Azan. I think you gotta keep her heel. Like or keep her whatever trajectory she's on. That's where you go. Because like that first program back for Rhea is gonna be Liv. And there's no way Liv's getting cheered through that. So I also think like it's high time like Liv can pivot to heel. It's about time. Like, she's just done everything as a babyface. She's won the title as a babyface. She's been the underdog babyface. You know, I don't think she can compete, you know, with the likes of like Rhea and Becky as like an alpha champion babyface. So as a heel, I think she's got more opportunity to kind of matter. And yeah, Derek in the chat, Liv and Dom could be fun. Yeah, that could be a good way to do that. So no, I think she sticks it out here and continues as a heel, but more so because of Rhea than anything else. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see how everything shakes out. We'll talk about it more Tuesday night on the Brass Ring Media Podcast, a flagship show. So thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining in. This was impromptu. Really fun. Glad we're able to spend 30 minutes together here on a Sunday. Hopefully you and yours are enjoying your weekend. If you have a minute, please head over to Patreon and become a member of Brass Ring Media. Brass Ring Media, it's patreon.com/BrassRingMedia. You can subscribe for free and kind of use it as a hub for all of our free content that goes up, but also you can become a member and get full access to everything, including our Discord community, all of our pay-per-view reviews, a free podcast once a week that comes along with membership. So check it out. Check it out. We really hope we're trying to build a really cool community. It's going great. And we'd love to have you. And we'd love to have an opportunity to earn your business. So patreon.com/BrassRingMedia. Tomorrow, right here on YouTube, Tyler Sage will take over the microphone for Monday Mania. Tomorrow, 3 Eastern, 2 Central. Once again, subscribe to our channel, hit notifications so you don't miss anything and you don't want to miss that show. It's always a highlight of our week here at Brass Ring Media. Cool. All right. For Azan, to Derek, everybody else who listened live, everybody who will listen live after the fact. Thank you to Matt for our super chat today. Thank you. And we'll catch you guys all next time. See ya.